This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:13 in the evening and you're with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin. And our first story this hour is actually about everyone's favourite class in school, math. So we're asking because last week when we did our 101 series on Industry 4.0, we concluded with an interview in which we had two guests with us, and they pointed out the importance of the subject as a life skill. And especially as we're headed into Industry 4.0, they spoke very eloquently actually about the need to have the logic and to have that sort of problem solving skill in moving forward. And they pointed out that everybody's focused on this idea of English. Everyone's focused on the idea of learning IT, but not enough people are talking about math.
Yeah, because math, because the logic that you learn from maths can also be a useful skill when you're heading towards IR 4.0. But the problem is, and this is also from my personal experience, not many people enjoyed learning maths. I remember it wasn't one of my favorite topics back in school because I wasn't particularly good at it. And I think it's also something that is shared by a lot of other people as well. We see, because even from my circle of friends, people get involved in the arts stream, for example, is because they're not good at science and math subjects. So this is an issue that is faced by a lot of people, and heading into the future as we're heading to IR 4.0, it is going to be a problem.
I think here in the office, especially with the exception of our colleagues over at The Morning Run who have to deal with numbers on a daily basis, it's sort of a running joke, you know, within the office. Whenever anybody has to do math, it's like, if I could do math, do you think I'd be in radio? And so there is this whole thing going. And I think that there is, like you said, right, this perception that it's like some people are math people and other people are just not. But I don't think that's true. As somebody who went from not being a math person to being a math person and now not working in the sciences, I actually think that there's a lot of value in trying to, firstly, it builds character to learn how to be good at something you're bad at. But honestly, I think a lot of the whatever logical, analytical, problem-solving skills that I have, whatever there is, really came from math.
Yeah, I would imagine so, right? And I think for me, the problem why I continue to I struggle with it today still, and that I may have some amount of math trauma, it's likely because of the way it was taught, right? In school, it was very much about, just follow this formula. You have this problem X, so use this formula or this solution Y to solve it. And there just really wasn't this sense of trying to understand the logic behind of math. It's just following a formula. It's more rote learning. And then it really focused on speed and accuracy, especially
in tests.
And formulas, right? In the test, if you don't answer by a certain time, you sort of fail at it. And that is such a very scary experience, right? You're taking a paper that you know you have to pass, and you are under so much pressure, and your brain just sort of loses that track, right? You lose. I can't remember which part of the brain shuts down when you're panicking, but that brain the place that you need to access just shuts down when you are in such a time pressure based environment.
So in case you were interested in listening to actually our 101 series where this first came up, our guests were Timothy Johnson, who is the Senior Vice President for Marketing Products and Partnerships at INTI International University and Colleges, as well as Dr. Sumitra Nae, who is the Vice President for Talent Development and Digital Entrepreneurship at MDEC. You can look that up on our site or on our app. And they both talked about math, and they both talked about this issue of how we teach math. And so that's why we want to know today, what was your experience like of learning mathematics in school, whether it was primary, secondary, tertiary level? What was that like? And really, do you think that it's helped you? You can call us at 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We have started up a poll on Twitter.
What was your experience of learning math in school? And so far, 48% say that they are math whizzes, and 35% say that they were bad at it and they struggled, and 18% says, meh, I didn't enjoy it.
It's good that more than half of them feel like they have done really well with math.
Yeah. So perhaps the studio then is in, the people in it are outliers. I actually did well at math, but I did well at math once I found the right teacher.
Right.
Yeah, that was very important. I wasn't a natural at learning at maths in particular. And then once I got it, it was like, ooh, this is really fun, which I know is a very nerdy thing to say, but it is. I mean, it was fun. So we are going to be reading your messages. But we also, by the way, just while we're at it, we also had this message from Andrew who says, let's not call them math problems. Let's call them math opportunities. So your very first math opportunity is coming your way right now. Really what you're getting, boasting rights. It is a free contest. And listen up. So this is the question. 5 years ago, Alvin's age was half of the age he will be in 8 years. How old is he now? If you know the answer, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. I think we should probably read it one more time.
All right. So the question is, 5 years ago, Alvin's age was half of the age he will be in 8 years. How old is he now?
Tell us. In the meantime, we are crossing over to a bona fide math enthusiast, Ezrin Zaharov, who is a recent math graduate who's now working as a data scientist with Naluri. Ezrin, it's good to have you on the show. So tell us, have you always been good at math?
Yes. I've always been good in math. From as small as I can remember, I've always been good at math. It's something I think that is natural to me. And it comes very easily to me as well.
There's always been this perception that math is really hard to learn. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think maybe that perception comes from the visualization of maths itself. It's not as straightforward as reading, where you have everything that's letters and maybe a few numbers here and there. But maths is a combination of both. It's both letters and numbers putting together in a way that can seem very foreign, and people tend to be very afraid. So with that kind of perception, people be like, oh, maths is actually really hard, you know, it doesn't really make sense. But once you take down that fear, it's actually really cool and really interesting. And that's why I think maybe that perception is there.
Did you enjoy the way math was taught to you when you were in secondary school?
Yes, I did. I did enjoy our high school math lessons a lot because, one, the math was very easy. So it came, I didn't really have to study much. But overall, the teaching made by the lecturers were very good.
Well, you also learned high school math both here in Malaysia and also in Scotland. Were there any significant differences in the way math was taught?
When I was thinking about it, I felt that it was similar. Malaysia and Scotland had similar ways of teaching where the teacher would teach and then we would do exercises. But what is different, I think, was our teacher. My teacher in Scotland really made our learning space comfortable, and we had chances, as I said previously, to contribute as well. So coming into our math lesson wasn't a drag. It was actually something that we were all looking forward to. So I think that's where it can differ.
And was there any particular teacher with a method or approach to teaching math that really appealed to you?
Yes, there was. I remember her name was Mrs. Pont. What made her stood out from all of my maths teachers in high school was that she was very thorough. She definitely knew the syllabus well, and she made sure that she made us participate in answering the questions on the board as well. So it wasn't just, the teacher teaching the subject, but we can also contribute in class.
Do you think that learning math is different from learning other subjects? So like, for example, for history, people can just memorize facts, right? Is math the same?
I think to a certain degree, yes. It does have its similarities, but math is a little different. You can memorize it, but if you don't understand it, it's hard for you to memorize. The understanding part is very crucial to doing maths, but once you understand it, you'll be like, oh, it's actually quite easy. You know, all of these details make sense.
So you went all the way. You've got a degree in maths. How well did secondary school math prepare you for your degree?
I think somewhat, because it helped me build my foundation for degree. You will be introduced to many of the basic components of maths. For example, straight line, factorization, the list goes on. And these parts of mathematics will always come constantly in A-levels, degree, and even further. So it prepared me for degree.
And Ezrin, you also do a little tutoring on the side. How do you make mathematics more of a joy rather than a chore for your students?
Mm-hmm. Math is fun. I really work hard to make my students really appreciate and understand their subject, because math is just beyond numbers and letters. You can use them in your daily life. I tend to focus more on my students' foundation. So I think it is important. I emphasize on that part.
And has maths helped you outside of your degree? Did it help teach you things like problem solving on a larger scale?
Yes, it definitely did. I've learned to be more sensitive to details. When it comes to maths, it's very particular with its details. You know, a plus and a minus can mean a lot of things to people, especially, for example, like the financial market or even in coding. It means very different things, and the outcome also can be very different.
Ezrin, thank you so much for sharing your perspective. That was Ezrin Zaharov, a math buff and data scientist at Naluri. And so we've been asking her about her experience of learning, but we've also been talking to you about it and wanting to understand, what has it been like? I mean, when you were in school, firstly, do you consider yourself a math person? And also, did you enjoy your experience of learning it in school? Because that's really what we're trying to drill down to, right? Whether or not it's being taught well in our schools right now. You can call us at 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. On the line with us is Mohammed. Mohammed, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening.
Mm-hmm.
How are you? My thoughts, I think math is something which everyone should enjoy, because it helps you, you know, think and be a problem solver.
And is it something that you've always enjoyed or learned to enjoy?
I've learned to enjoy. Didn't say initially, but I've learned to enjoy it.
And did you by any chance listen to our little quiz earlier?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay, do you want to take a guess?
Yeah, I think it's 18.
Mohammed, congratulations. It definitely is 18. did you have to like write it down and, you know, do the little math solution, or did you work it out in your head?
It's all mental calculation.
Nice. Congratulations.
I'm kind of used to doing mental calculation, even multiplication or whatever it is, you know. I tend not to use the calculator.
Yeah, I think that that's actually very good mental practice, because a lot of people default right to the calculator now.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Even, you know, people like 2 plus 2, they make use the calculator. I don't understand that, you know.
I've seen that happen, yeah. Especially at cashiers, which really,
You know, it's 4. Yeah, 2 plus 2.
Mohammed, thank you so much for calling, and congratulations on 18. Actually, he's not the only person who got that right. A number of other people have nailed the answer. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely 18. Bonus points to everyone who actually worked out, who actually sent us the Jalan Kerja,
yeah.
Who shared how they got their X equals.
I couldn't even figure it out. I know this is a question we're dishing up, but I was trying to mentally work it out and I couldn't.
You know what? Even the question scared me. I was like, how do I even approach this?
I'm actually trying to work out how people arrived at 13 and 23, because the other two answers, the common ones, were 13 or 23. We do also have, however, Vivigan, who says, don't know if I caught your question correctly, but I think it's 4.5. If it's not right, please give me points for Jalan Kerja. So consider this your points.
The 0.5 point for the Jalan Kerja.
Yes. We also have a couple of responses to our poll with CK saying, math was fun, but getting a job with a math degree was horrendous back in the day. I wonder why the interviewers asked me in when they all asked the same question, which is, why don't you apply for a teaching post?
I guess that reflects some the kind of importance they place on it. I mean, now that we know that we are heading to IR 4.0, perhaps employers will appreciate people with math degrees more. But like back
I've always
then,
thought maybe, it was important, right?
Well, obviously, some people don't think it's important because they're like, oh, you know math, teach it.
Or like the application of it wasn't seen as being so diverse back then, right? Right now, because data has become something that is essentially the new oil, you know, now statisticians sort of work with retailers to refine and analyze their loyalty programs. Mathematicians work now with banks to manage financial risk and with hospitals, you know, to manage workflows and all that. So it's very much more applicable today. I don't think the opportunities were likely present previously.
I think it's really about how literally you look at a degree and think about what that qualification is. Nicholas says, I was good at math, but not a whiz, hence none of the options fit my experience. On a separate note, maths is crucial not just for IR 4.0, but for understanding the world we live in. It's a complex issue, but I believe it stems from the way it's taught in Malaysia, which is exactly what we're talking about today. Keep those thoughts coming. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be coming back with another math opportunity after the news, so stay tuned for that. You're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It's 6:36 in the evening with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman, and we are doing math today because basically last week on the show at almost exactly the same time, we had two guests on with us. Timothy Johnson, who is the Senior Vice President of Marketing, Products and Partnerships at INTI International University and Colleges. Also, Dr. Sumitra Nair, Vice President for Talent Development and Digital Entrepreneurship at MDEC. And we were trying to have this conversation about our preparedness for IR 4.0. And suddenly they said something and they both really agreed with each other. And it was just this idea of the importance of math and how we aren't necessarily churning out graduates or churning out students with sufficient interest, and that perhaps that has something to do with how it's taught.
Yeah, because usually when people talk about preparedness for the upcoming IR 4.0, people usually go to like, you need to have IT skills, you need to be good in English, but what we usually miss out is the importance of math in all of it as well.
What I'm so glad for being alive in this age of the internet is the fact that I can still now pick up math, right? And I don't necessarily have to go back to a school to do it.
So we have a poll up on our Twitter. What was your experience of learning math in school? And actually 48% say, great, I'm a math whiz. I hope none of you clicked that sarcastically because I realized that it could be viewed that way. But I actually think that it sounds as if a lot of people actually had a good experience, which is cool because over on WhatsApp, there's also this overwhelming sense of the importance of having a good teacher.
Mm-hmm. And that is one of the experiences that I had as well. So like from primary to secondary school, I was basically bad at math, and heading to SPM, I was in trouble. So the school called in this tuition teacher, Encik Kaswadi, and he sort of like opened me up to the secrets of additional mathematics. So from being someone who's really bad at it, finally in SPM I got A1 for ed maths.
Feels that way, doesn't it? It feels that way. I think maths feels like such a huge mystery until it's not. And that's the logic bit.
And you need such a good teacher. You know, I still remember my teacher asking me why I was failing at ad math, and I was like, well, the reason is standing right in front of me. But I can't say that because it would be rude to my poor teacher.
By the way, we've been throwing, or we promised you that we would be throwing math. Earlier we had a listener, Andrew, say opportunities. So I'm going to call it that. We're going to be throwing math opportunities your way. Earlier we only had one person involved in the question. That was Alvin. Mm-hmm. Now, just warning you, we have three names. So here we go. Caroline read 5 magazines, Julian read 6 magazines, and Farah read 7 magazines. One magazine was read by all three of these people, but every other magazine was different. So how many different magazines did they read?
So maybe let's repeat that
I
once
think so,
again.
Yes.
Many characters in this story. Caroline read 5 magazines, Julian read 6 magazines, and Farah read 7 magazines. One magazine was read by all three of them, but every other magazine was different. How many different magazines did the women read?
So you can call us with the answer if you'd like at 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. To be clear, what you win is pride. Pride at your math skills. Just to be crystal clear. Now, looking through some of the messages that we've been getting, morning. Swee Lim says, the way math is taught here is too rote and it's geared towards passing exams. Many can't apply the logic in real life, which I think is what you were saying earlier, Kelvin.
Yeah, and which is something that I actually do struggle with. Right? And among a lot of my friends who didn't end up going through, didn't end up following through with a math education after high school, it was that, you know, I still don't see where it's applicable. I still don't see, well, I'm not using algebra today, but in the very small ways, we do always use math, right? Whether we are trying to build certain kinds of furniture, for example, or we're just trying to see, oh, well, will this particular thing, we all be able to cook this thing? And you measure your ingredients and all that.
If you're just trying to divide a lunch that you shared with your friends, I mean, that'll do
it. Oh, that's tough also.
It's not. Okay, never mind. Eileen says, my mum was my math teacher in Form 3. I failed her paper once because I couldn't understand what she was teaching. Eventually, turned out good in math. And totally agree, it teaches logic, but people can't see how they use math in their daily life, which is a theme that runs through the messages. Mm. Next up, we have this message from Owen.
I learned math in Spanish, Dutch, and English by virtue of the schools I went to in those countries when I was young. Absolutely essential life skill. I still do mental arithmetic in Dutch.
I'm curious, do either of you make a point of doing mental arithmetic or do you stick to calculators?
Depends how complicated it is. If it's easy ones, mental arithmetic. But when you get to like complex divisions, that's when I whip out the calculator.
Well, as someone who went through the whole abacus training system, I do a lot of mental math. Just that when it becomes something related to math, that's where my brain just shuts down.
Yeah, I now as an adult, I really, really try extremely hard to make sure that I actually do mental arithmetic as much as possible because I find myself so rusty. I mean, especially if you don't do it for a while, just basic addition, especially when you try and do it in your head, which is why all those people who said, hey, I solved Alvin's age via, you know, without having to write it down, I'm like, the envy is very, very real. We've been asking you for your thoughts, both on how mathematics is taught, your skill level right now, and also in solving a question that we put out earlier. Lots of messages coming in. We will get to them, as well as our next guest, who is actually someone who is an educator, Dr. Leong Kuan Yew, a senior lecturer at the Department of Mathematics and Science at University of Malaya, to give us that perspective. That's coming up after this. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:43 in the evening and you're with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin. We are talking about mathematics this hour, specifically how it's being taught in school. Are we doing enough to prepare students or even to instill a liking in students? So we want to know what your experience was like in school. We've also been throwing mathematical problems your way. And by the way, so we had this question earlier. Ayman, you want to do the honors?
Yep. So the question is, Caroline read 5 magazines, Julian read 6 magazines, and Farah read 7 magazines. One magazine was read by all 3 ladies, but every other magazine was different. How many different magazines did the women read?
So, we've been asking you for your thoughts. First up, we have Ro, who says, trick question, no one reads magazines anymore.
That is an answer I would also go for, seeing that I would have struggled trying to work it out.
But we have lots and lots of correct answers, which is 16. So to everyone who came in with 16, you are absolutely right. Dr. Kairi Khalil actually earlier also came in with 18, which was the correct answer for our first question. And at the time, he said, I'm driving and not able to write down the questions and equations. So,
They just did that in their head.
Exactly. Having said that, though, Dr. Kairi had also said, I enjoyed maths from standard 1 all the way up to doctorate level, so perhaps it's an unfair advantage. Now I use maths to exercise my brain. I've made lots of discovery through it, which is fantastic. And before we get to our next guest, although hopefully you will be paying attention to our interview, we also want you to exercise those brain muscles. So here is the second last of our questions today.
Daryl, hold on, let me get this right. When cooking dinner, Jack needs 8 ingredients for 3 different recipes. The first recipe required 2 ingredients and the other 2 recipes required the same number of ingredients. How many ingredients were needed for each of the other 2 recipes?
Yeah. I'll read that again in case you guys missed it. When cooking dinner, Jack needs 8 ingredients for 3 different recipes. the first recipe required two ingredients and the other two recipes required the same number of ingredients. How many ingredients were needed for each of the other two recipes?
I think this one is relatively simple, actually. So let's see. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and you can even call 7733-2900 if you'd like to attempt answering that question.
Now, let's get to the point of view of an educator. Dr. Leong Kwan Yu joins us. He's a senior lecturer at the Department of Mathematics and Science at University of Malaya. Dr. Leong, thank you so much for being with us. How did you find your way towards specializing and studying in math?
I think it's back to school for me. I participated in many mathematics competitions, and I found that I seem to be able to solve the math questions. And this gave me some ideas that maybe this is the field I should pursue in the future. So for me personally, it's the teaching of math and also the math competition that spurred me to say that maybe this is the field that I'm good at and I should pursue further.
And were you motivated to join math competitions because you were inherently good at it?
Yes, for certain sections I feel I'm good at it, but I also feel that for some problems that I couldn't solve, this really made me give a very deep thought. And I would say that certain problems when I couldn't solve, that made me realize that this is an area that is very wide. Because in mathematics, people will just think you're good in maths. But in mathematics itself, there's different fields of algebra. We have dealing with numbers. We have geometry, we have calculus, statistics. So in different kind of math specializations, they might need different kind of understanding and reasoning. So sometimes you notice some people are able to solve, let's say, certain number problems, but they're unable to solve like geometric problems. In math itself, we have the specialization which normally people don't talk about. It's something like, for example, it's engineering. When you talk engineering, there are specializations like mechanical and electrical, civil and stuff. But in math, we always talk math as a general subject. We don't go into the majors, which I find sometimes some people are good at different specializations in math. Overall, they can be excel in, let's say, numbers, but does not mean that they'll be excel in everything. So for me, I feel that maybe I'm good at calculus and algebra. At that time, I didn't know all these words. I just know that I'm good at that section. But for the other sections, I'm not so good at. So that was something that I realized as I was entering the university level.
And, you know, are there certain kind of traits or mindsets that might make someone especially adept with perhaps one or two areas in math?
I think the mindset is more of not giving up, persevering to solve the problem. Because in mathematics, they need a lot of logic and reasoning. And I think a lot of people sort of give up once they are given some difficult problems, or basically they blank out. I think it's give up is one thing, blank out is another thing. So these are the two major things that normally happens for a person. But as we go further, we realize that it's important to always take some time to solve the difficult problems. Then that is something that most people sometimes would not want to take the challenge. And I think it's also due to the idea that because most of the questions, math questions that we do in schools, we are able to solve it in a very short time. So this gives a very different impression that most math questions are like that in the future.
What's your opinion on how math is taught in the country and what informs your approach to teaching?
I think we are still very traditional in the sense that most students and teachers are comfortable in the approach where the teacher shows the example, then students do the exercise. Once they get correct, then they move on. So I think that is the most of the approach that most teachers do. Why is this happening? Because I think a lot of students or former teachers feel that this has been working for the past 50, 100 years, and they have been using their role models. The role models are their previous teachers, which uses this method. So I think in Malaysia, we are trying to move, let's say, from what it calls the teacher-centered pedagogy to student-centered. But as I say, this is something that needs support from all, because with limited classroom time for mathematics, sometimes it's a bit challenging to do all this. As I say, when I give student-centered learning math, we expect students to be able to do exploration, investigation, solving the problems, with the guidance of teachers, where the teacher will facilitate. In traditional classrooms, we always see teachers are the one showing the examples, telling the students, informing the students, and checking the answers are correct. So for me, the approach should be actually, if possible, to also teach mathematics like some sciences. For example, in a math classroom, you would expect students to be given a real-life problem, and they use what mathematics needs to be used to solve the real-life problem. So for example, is design the best mobile phone plan for students in school. So students will be the one coming up with this model. So this is one approach that can be used in the mathematics classroom for me.
And once students move on to study maths in higher education, do the challenges remain? Do you still find that students at the tertiary level who struggle and drop out?
Definitely, because as we go higher, the thinking will be sometimes they call more abstract, meaning there's not so much computations of getting the correct answers. But in mathematics, especially in like pure maths, they need to prove the theorems. So this is where they need to give some logical argument based on the mathematical steps. Why is this particular step that you do is it becomes a theorem? Meaning that how are you able to generalize the particular solution, and does this solution work for all cases? So that's where sometimes it gets tough, because most people are used with using specific examples. But in mathematics, in order to be able to prove certain things, we need to use certain proving techniques, which sometimes needs time. So I think one of the most recent math problem that was solved was the Fermat's Last Theorem, where if you look at the documentary, how the mathematician Andrew Wiles took quite some time to solve this particular problem. He had to persevere, use whatever knowledge he had. And I think this is one of the great examples to show that sometimes you need some time, perseverance, and also some creativity to solve this one of the, we call the math, classic math problems that has been solved in the 20th century.
All right, and before we let you go, Dr. Leong, I mean, this topic is one that's come up already, this idea of applying mathematics in the real world. Why is it important for all of us to have a decent grip on the subject?
Yeah, I think learning maths is as important as learning languages. See, when you learn a language, you don't have this question, why do I learn languages? Languages are needed to communicate. Similarly with math, mathematics also, in a way, is communicating your ideas, but using more of numbers and shapes to explain ideas. And most of the time, we take for granted the math that we learn, because maybe in the school mathematics, some people have some bad experiences. But in real life, it has many applications, because what it does is it helps a person to be quite systematic in the way of thinking. So once you have that skill, you might be able to apply that skill to solve other kinds of problems, which might not be mathematical, but it's a good way of thinking that helps you. And these days, with the big data coming in, they need to create lots of models to, let's say, project the future economy. You also need some big data to see how are the consumers using all the information they have. So companies are normally happy that they are able to hire, these days they call big data statistics, whereby they're able to harness what people use and how to project future business earnings. And also, we can also open the eyes to different kind of the mathematics beauty, right? So if you are, let's say, doing landscaping architecture, you might use the knowledge of the space and how to maximize the usage of the space through creative designs. So some of these ideas are very important, that sometimes we just use it without realizing that this actually comes from mathematics. But I think the most important thing is, at the end of the day, when solving a math problem, it will teach you some values, in the sense of you need to persevere and sometimes just be patient when solving a problem. So in real life, it's similar in some jobs. Certain problems need some time to be solved, which is similar to solving a mathematics problem, which can help us in our lives.
Dr. Leong, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Leong Kuan Yew, Senior Lecturer at the Department of Mathematics and Science at University of Malaya. And we've been devoting our entire hour to the subject of mathematics and really kind of testing out your mental arithmetic. Been very impressed so far. Our question earlier, I don't think we need to reiterate it simply because there are already so many correct answers that have come in. But in case you were wondering, the answer to Jack and his 8-ingredient conundrum is that you need 3 ingredients for each of the other recipes. So congratulations to all the smarty pants who got it. And we have about 4 minutes left in the hour, so we are going to ask you the next question. Daryl and his sister Dina combined their allowance of 7 ringgit each so that they could buy a movie for 12 ringgit. They bought 1 ringgit containers of popcorn with the remaining money and split the containers evenly between them. How many containers of popcorn did they each get?
So one more time, Daryl and his sister Dina combined their allowance of 7 ringgit each so they could buy a movie for 12 ringgit. They bought 1 ringgit containers of popcorn with the remaining money and split the containers evenly between them. How many containers of popcorn did they each get?
018-789-8899 is the number to WhatsApp. You can even call us if you want, 7733-2900. But we've also been asking not just math questions, again, for the prize of pride, but we've also been asking you what your experience of learning has been like. And we have this from Naha, who says, I do agree with the notion where math in school was so focused on speed, efficiency, and accuracy in exams that we weren't taught the why of it all, which for me is more important because I need context. Though I will say that in my older age, given that I'm no longer in such a pressurized environment, I'm more willing to learn. And with the 2020 hindsight I have, it makes picking up math a lot easier than it was. So I'd also say that if we want to instill math in young children, it has to be taught in a way that's different, contextual, legitimately logical, rather than robotic, and more emphasis should be placed on kids who have a different way of learning. I'd also encourage adult listeners to just try it at whatever age you are now, despite past failings. You may find the math that you may find the fun that your math inclined peers were raving about before. Naha's 23.
Naha, I'm going to pick it up as something to learn next year. I'm taking that in place of Mandarin because I think one day I'm taking a risk that Mandarin and all other languages will be easily translatable, not so much for math.
And Naha does bring another good point about how the teaching of math should be geared towards helping students understand why they are doing the things they are doing, not just to memorize or show them how to do the calculations. Because by showing them how to understand what they're doing, that will help them, solve it better. And that applies to other subjects as well. Because I've discovered when I was growing up, going to uni, for example, learning economics was very much easier when you understand why things happen. Yeah. Rather than just so sort of like envious. Memorizing it.
It's the fisherman thing, right? Like if you teach someone how to fish, that's a lot better than just shoving fish at them.
And exactly.
The whole thing about, you just put this here, you put that there, that doesn't help. You know, it doesn't help you apply it to all sorts of different problems, which is what you need. Chua says, I do agree that in our country, the experience depends on the teacher. A lot of people are saying that. My math teacher back then, really passionate, really got us into it. She believes in practice. I remember we had 5 exercise books for different chapters, 5 books of exercise books for different chapters. Also, I'm lucky to have a good group of friends to teach and learn together.
Yeah, I think the environment's very important, but it's hard, right? Because you don't feel like taking up way too much time of your friends who are good at math, and that was hard to translate.
Another success story before we wind up for this hour anyway. Brian says, I remember failing in math in Form 2 and 3. It was so embarrassing for me then. In Form 4, I got a great tuition teacher who helped me realize how easy it was. I did add math in Form 4 and 5, getting A's, took further math and statistics, and now I'm an engineer.
Math is
awesome and very satisfying. We'll be back to read more messages after the news. Keep it here in the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.